Have you heard of chapulines? It's a Mexican specialty dish consisting of fried grasshoppers seasoned with chilies, garlic and a squeeze of lime juice. If that sounds yummy to you, it sounds like more and more Australians are getting on board with the possibility of eating insects. Someone who's been doing a study on this is Jess Danaher, lecturer in nutrition at the RMIT University. Jess, how you doing?
Good, thanks, Andrew. Thanks for having me today.
That's all right. Does something like that sound tasty to you? Fried grasshoppers in chili, garlic and a little bit of lime juice. It sounds all right to me.
Absolutely. I think the seasoning there has really sold it to me. It sounds very appetizing.
And there are many people around the world, in fact, possibly at least 2 billion, who actually do enjoy insects. We're a bit slow on the uptake on this, aren't we?
That's right, and it's something that we might have to start considering adding to our diet. As our population increases in the future, we're going to need more, I guess, sustainable sources of protein in our diet, and insects is part of that solution.
So you've been investigating, and it sounds like a few people, or the majority of Australians, could actually be interested in swallowing a cockroach in so many ways.
Yeah, so my group at RMIT, we wanted to investigate why eating insects wasn't mainstream in Australia. So our research set out to better understand what would make people consider adding insects. And I guess we kind of went in with the idea of, oh, maybe it's an ick factor or a disgust that's holding people back. But we actually found some surprising results. It's not an ick factor at all, but a lack of opportunity and a lack of understanding about the nutritional value of eating insects.
What is the nutritional value? Why are they good for us?
Yeah, so they're just as good for us from a protein perspective as traditional sources, so cattle, for example. So insects contain up to 80% protein, and that's our body's vital building block. And they also contain energy-rich fats and micronutrients such as iron.
So I've been over to Vietnam and I had some coconut palm grubs, which are very similar to our witchetty grubs, which was nice to try once, but I don't know if I could live on them. When you talk to people with the study, are they talking about, you know, I'll give everything a go once, but or as opposed to actually surviving on it?
Well, we asked people whether they'd be likely to even eat insects in the future before we went into detail about what insects specifically they'd like to try. And we found that about 56% would say that they were likely to eat them in the future. And we found that that number actually increased to 82% among those who had already tried them. So people that have tried insects actually know that they are delicious and they're nutritious and they're willing to try them again.
Indigenous Australians have actually been eating insects for quite a long time. It's really us Westerners who haven't been getting on board.
Yeah, it's thought that our taste for bugs was lost potentially around the time that we started our agriculture. So we started domesticating animals and using crops for food. And our insects started being seen potentially as a pest that destroyed the crop. So it took on this sort of negative attitude. But our attitudes towards edible insects are looking like they're shifting back. And that might be because people are becoming more environmentally conscious and aware of the impact that traditional farming is having on our environment.
We are talking about them in being industrially farmed to be sold through our grocery chains as opposed to going scraping one off the back windowsill and chucking it in our breakfast.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not recommending to go pluck them out of the garden. What we would envision is that there'd be these purpose-built, modernised farming facilities to develop edible insects, because the last thing we want to do is to be causing biodiversity issues or using an insect for food that has the potential to go extinct. So these would be purpose-built facilities. But also, by doing that, we can grow them in a way that we ensure the safety. We can have regulations involved to make sure that there's no pathogens or toxins being grown along the way.
For my benefit, I think I can get on board with a grasshopper. I'm not too sure about the cockroach, though. I don't know if I could ever come to, you know, swallowing one of those.
Well, we actually found that people were most likely to want to eat an insect-based flour, so a flour that then was potentially used in a biscuit or a bread. They also rated chocolate-coated ants as their second choice, and crickets were also up there in that top three. But people were less keen to eat things like moths and flies. So it seems to be the wing factor involved in that. But hey, if it was ground up in a powder form, then they might be on board.
That's true. If you went and bought your fly flour, you wouldn't really know, would you?
That's right. And it was interesting. We actually found that witchetty grub didn't score too badly when it came to people's preferences. And a witchetty grub is really just the larval form of a moth. So it's when it gets to that down that development chain that people are a little bit off-put by it.
Jess Danaher from the RMIT University, thank you very much for chewing the insects with us this morning. I was going to say chew the fat, but chew the insect is a little bit closer.
Thanks, Andrew.